You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. We will be reading verses 6 through 10 as we begin our lesson. We continue our series, Behold the Blood, and we are putting the mess back in the message by beholding the blood of Christ. And we see all the various blessings and benefits that are ours because Jesus shed his blood, gave his life on the cross. Romans 5, beginning in verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. As we take a look at the blood, Father, the precious blood of Jesus, enable us to see the justification that it brings us. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Propitiation took us to the temple. We saw the atoning sacrifice of Christ as through his sacrifice, he is averting the wrath of God toward us because of sin. Redemption took us to the marketplace and how we have been purchased back from a world of sin, rescued by ransom. And now, justification takes us to the courtroom. Justification is the language of legal proceedings. But it is not jail time or a fine which pays our way out of the divine court. It is the precious blood of Jesus. And it is only the blood of Jesus which brings a sinner into right relation with God, into right standing with God who is the judge. You see, in justification, God declares us righteous, but he also transforms our character by the blood of Jesus. So, how does God justify the sinner? Well, I want us to take a closer look this morning, take a deep dive, as it were, into justification as it is presented in the Bible. And the first thing we need to do is we need to take a step back. All this begins with God. And in order to work through a definition of justification, we have to view justification through the lens of God. And when it comes to God, there are two important images that are vital to understanding and defining justification. See, justification is rooted in the righteous character of God. The two images are God as judge and God as king. In Genesis 18 and verse 25, Abraham says there, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" Now, Abraham is talking about God there. And how does he present God? He presents him as the judge of all the earth. And so God, in the first place, is the just judge. And he has, as you see throughout the Old Testament, he has given his law. He has communicated his will, his standard of conduct. And he demands that his standard be kept perfectly. If we would have life, sinless perfection is the demand before God as judge. But he's also king, and from Psalm 22, David, writing towards the end of that psalm, says, "For kingship belongs to Yahweh," all capital letters there for Lord indicates it's his name. Kingship belongs to Yahweh, and he rules over. And so God is the righteous king, and he does not withhold justice. And his judgments are always right in everything that he does. And so God shows his righteousness as a royal king. And he always punishes violations of his law, legal violations. He does not allow the guilty to go free, and he is one who acquits the righteous. And so it's no wonder that Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah 5 and verse 16, he says he is exalted in justice, and he shows himself holy in righteousness. And those whom God renders a guilty verdict to, they truly are in a hopeless situation. And so he is the God who justifies. And we get this later on as we come back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. 8:33 of Romans, Paul writes, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." And so God, he justifies, and it is God, God alone, who is able to declare us righteous. God alone who condemns. In fact, condemnation, Romans 8 begins with that word. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so justification is acquittal. Justification is to be declared not guilty. Condemnation, on the other hand, would be bearing the guilt and bearing the responsibility, the punishment that is due your sins, the offenses that are left on the record. So it's important to understand that when it comes to justification, it isn't that the law is relaxed, and it isn't that it is set aside. On the contrary, in justification, as it is presented in the Bible, the law is fulfilled in the strictest sense. It is perfectly fulfilled, and those who are declared righteous, they have all of the advantages and the blessings that go along with perfect obedience. Well, wait a second. We know from our own experience, we've not kept the law perfectly. We have not been obedient perfectly. And so, knowing that we are guilty of having violated God's law, that brings to us a dilemma. And it's our dilemma when it comes to justification, because first of all, there's this principle which is recorded several places. I have two here for us to look at. Under the law, and then Solomon, the wisest man to ever walk the planet, second to Jesus only, established this principle concerning justification. Under the law, Deuteronomy 25 verse 1, "If there is a dispute between men and they come into court, and the judges decide between them, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty." And so we see justice is not to be perverted. You don't allow the guilty to go free. You don't allow the guilty to be acquitted. You must condemn the guilty. And again, Solomon in his wisdom says amen to that in Proverbs 17 and verse 15. "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord." It's not right. It's not good to pervert justice and to let the guilty go free and to condemn the innocent. And, you know, this is still good governing policy, by the way. I think it's a shame when that it seems like in our country we've kind of gotten away from this, where we do condemn the innocent and we allow the guilty to go free. That's not a good thing. Solomon in his wisdom knew that. And so it's not a good thing to get away from. I digress. On a personal level, you and I both know that we have done things which are wrong. Sin. And we have done those things. We have brought guilt upon ourselves. We perhaps sense the lost relationship that we have with God. And we understand that we are sinners. We have committed unrighteousness. We stand condemned before a holy, perfect God. He is the just judge. And so it's interesting that Paul, as we come back to Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, having established this principle that presents a dilemma to us, Paul deepens the paradox, as it were, when in chapter 4 and verse 5 of Romans, he says that God is the one who justifies the ungodly. Romans 4, 5. God justifies the ungodly. This would have been scandalous to the devout Jewish people in the audience when Paul first delivered or wrote this letter and had it delivered to the Roman congregation. They know that God commanded the law, and they know that you can't justify the guilty. They know that the guilty, they are worthy of condemnation. So how could God justify the ungodly? That's us. That's us. We're the ungodly ones. And yet, God justifies us. The righteous one justifies us. And he's justified in doing that. But how? And that brings us to the cross. We know our need. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and 23 tells us, in the courtroom of divine justice, we stood condemned. We were deserving the death penalty. You sin, you die. And there are not enough good works, not enough good deeds that we could do in order to declare us not guilty. And so we need to put to bed and put to rest this idea, this notion, which is faulty, that, you know, if you're just a good person, God will let you into heaven. I'm basically a good person, and so God, he'll let me into his heaven. That is a lie straight from the lips of the devil. It is heresy. There are not enough good works that we can do. In fact, as we've talked about before, our good deeds are nothing more than filthy rags, according to Isaiah the prophet. We cannot earn our acquittal. And so this was our need because of sin. And God acted. He desires for us to be justified. God desires right relationship with us. And so, seeing there was no way we could justify ourselves, God acted. He came into this world, lived a perfect life you and I could never live, died a brutal death on the cross that was due us. This is what's at the heart of Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood. That's a statement about the cross of Jesus. We have been justified by his blood. Much more will we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Jesus, when he shed his blood on the cross, that was the means by which God justifies sinners. It is the blood which enables God to justify the ungodly. It is the blood of Jesus which enables God to justify us sinners. In fact, when you take a closer look at Romans 5, verses 6 through 10, you see, verse 6, we were weak. We were ungodly. Verse 8, we were still sinners. And then verse 10, well, we were enemies. We were weak, ungodly sinners who were enemies of God. And yet it's the blood of Christ which makes it possible for us to have right standing with God. And I want you to see this. God does 100% of the work. God initiates justification. It was his idea. It originates with him. He is the source of it. But he's also the means of justification. He himself steps down into human history to die on the cross as God the Son. And then he himself is also the justifier, the one who justifies, who declares us not guilty. The whole way around, God is the one who is working justification through Christ on the cross. 100% of the work is upon God, and we must respond with obedient faith. And that does kind of beg the question, right? Well, how does God justify? I like what John R.W. Stott in his book, The Cross of Christ, writes about this. He says, when God justifies sinners, he is not declaring bad people to be good or saying that they are not sinners after all. He is pronouncing them legally righteous, free from any liability to the broken law, because he himself, in his Son, has borne the penalty of their law-breaking. See, that's what Christ is doing on the cross. He is taking unto himself upon himself all the legal ramifications of our sin on himself. And by the blood, God pardons all of our sins and he treats us as righteous. He treats us as if we have been conformed perfectly to the law, in perfect obedience to all the law's demands. How? Jesus. Jesus. And only Jesus. It is his righteousness, not our own. We know this. We're reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so, knowing this, how should we live? How should we live in light of the blood of Christ? We have now been justified by his blood. Since God looks upon us and he sees Christ's righteousness when he looks upon us, shouldn't it be that we should seek to live a righteous life? Shouldn't it be that we desire to live according to the standard that God has put before us? God's not put the righteous robes of Christ's righteousness upon us so that he can somehow cover over our continued sinful behavior. God forbid. This is what Paul says, Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it any longer? This is what we saw last week from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Beloved, I'm writing to you so that you may not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate. So it's not merely being justified through Christ. It's being justified in Christ. And that's the language Paul uses to talk about justification. Justification, we are justified in Christ. And so this brings with it a new ethic, a new way of living that is connected to righteousness and the righteous character of God. It is to be worked out in community. This new community, the church, the group of people that call upon Christ as Lord. We're all declared innocent. And so as innocent ones, we live with other innocent ones as we seek to live like the innocent one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall bring any charge against us, against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Get the picture. We have been justified fully. We have been justified freely. We have been justified by God's grace. Indeed, we are justified by God. It is God who justifies, and he does it through Christ Jesus, who is the one who died. You know, there's a story. It's a familiar story. I don't claim originality with it. You may have heard it before. But there was a young woman. She was traveling through town and she was speeding in excess of the speed limit by a certain amount. Police officer pulled her over and wrote her a ticket, $100 ticket. A ticket that she didn't have the money to pay, and she ended up in court. And she's standing before the judge and she tells the judge, I can't pay the ticket. He says, it must be paid. $100. I don't have the money. $100 she didn't have. And the judge says, well, if you can't pay the fine, it's going to cost you a weekend in jail. She says, I can't pay the ticket. And I don't want to spend the time in jail. I can't do it. The judge says, look, I can't change the law. Those are the rules. I can't change the rules. And the young lady began to cry and she began to beg for mercy. I can't pay it. I don't have the money. I can't spend the time in jail. Please have mercy on me, she says. The judge looked down on her and he was moved with compassion. He got up and took off his judge's robe and laid it aside. He got down from his bench and he went and he put on his outer jacket and he went and stood by the young lady, pulled out his billfold and took out a crisp $100 bill, laid it on the bench. Then he went back, took his coat off, his jacket, went back up to take his seat. Before he did, he put on his judge's robes once again. And he said to the lady, he said, "Young lady, you've been found guilty of speeding. The law is the law. I can't change it. The law says you must pay $100 or else you have to spend the weekend in jail. Oh, but look, I see that someone else has already paid the charge." You know, God, he saw us speeding down the highway of sin. And what did he do? He, as it were, laid aside his judge's robe. How is it Paul talks about it? He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. He put on his jacket of humanity. And he came down and he lived among us and he dies on the cross and he pays the penalty for our breaking the law. He picked up the tab. And then he rose from the dead. He ascended back to the Father's right hand where he put on his robe of deity. And he lives and rules there forevermore. And the good news is that the bill we could not pay has already been paid in Christ Jesus our Lord. We didn't do it. We couldn't do it. And if we did, we'd have forever to boast about it in heaven. And yet, we know God justified us fully, freely, by his grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Won't you, my friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him as Lord, and be obedient to the point of being baptized? My brothers and sisters, we who have been justified, let us live up to the high and holy standard of righteousness that is before us in Christ Jesus. Let me pray. Indeed, Father, this is how we know true love. You sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross for us, to shed his blood, but it is by his blood that we are justified entirely. We have right relationship with you. We have right standing before you, and we have a new right way of living with you in holiness. Help us, Father. Enable us to behold the blood of Jesus day by day, so that we might live according to your word and according to your will. We pray this all through Christ our Lord. Amen.